Crawford in a conference meeting before in my life, but I have similar thoughts, and we trust the Lord to give a little help, see if we can tie it in with what he said. Also, he did encourage me, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5 was the first verse I ever memorized after I got saved. And I took that as my foundation, and it encouraged me as he read it. It just gave me a little boost, and I needed that too. Preachers always need a little boost, and he gave me that little boost, and we trust that we'll be able to follow behind him very cautiously. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thanks. I'm very shy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number, maybe we should verse 3 first of all. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus. Now verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, chapter 2 and verse number 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in present, not in heart, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Now chapter 3 and verse number 7. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Now chapter 4 and verse number 15. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, chapter 5 and verse number 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when we shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Now I'm actually thinking in regards to the Lord's coming. Truth in regards to the Lord's coming. And it's truth for our heart. It's not a head knowledge. It's nice to know. It's nice to learn things from the Scripture. It's nice to know your Bible. But it is more important to live your Bible. Live it. Put it into shoe leather, where it really sticks and really works. And the truth of the Lord's coming should motivate us to holy living. And that's what we really want today in which we live, isn't it? We want to live holier lives, lives that are committed to the things of God and that are more like God and witnessing for Him. We were taught as young men at the beginning of our Christian life that worship was more important than work. We're to worship God. We're to know God and worship Him before we ever work for Him. And that's what we want to think about today. We want to think about the truth of working and witnessing and worshiping God. In chapter 1, the Lord's coming here should motivate us in waiting upon God. And we've been hearing about prayer. If there's anything that a young Christian should learn, is to learn how to pray. Mr. Holder, that used to spend time in Newfoundland from working in Nova Scotia, often taught us as young men to prove God. Learn to prove God. Don't be afraid to, like a little squirrel, walk out on that limb as far out as you can go, proving God every step you take. And that's very important, very vital as a Christian, is learning to talk to God. Committing your ways to the Lord. Not making one step, but out asking God, directing your thought towards God, and speaking to the Lord, and waiting upon God. So as you think about the Lord's coming, and you think about appearing before Him and seeing Him, and it's not only our brother here that is waiting to see Him, it'll be a grand day when His hands comes in view, the pierced hands of the Savior, and we see Him for the first time, and our eyes fall upon Him, and we know we'll love Him because we love Him now. But waiting upon God, learning to wait upon God, learning to pray to God, seek God for everything in your life. We live in a materialistic world, and because of the materialistic world and the material that we have, oftentimes we have our bread and we don't depend upon the Lord for our bread. We know that it's going to be there. We somehow or another think that it's not going to fail. It's always going to be there. We have shoes on our feet and we think that that's always going to be. We have clothes to wear and that's always going to be. But there are so many in our world tonight. And Christians, born-again Christians, who don't know where the next little piece of bread is going to come from. And don't know really what they're going to do in that pair of shoes that is really worn out now, where they're going to get the next pair of shoes. Or where the clothes they're going to put on their back is going to come from. So they have to wait upon God. And somehow or another, our world has robbed us of that just that the total dependence upon the Lord. But you know, the Lord has His way of teaching us. And it's nice to learn that. Learn to commend your ways unto the Lord. To ask God for everything. Learn to allow Him to do things for you. To allow Him to provide these things. And seek the Lord. Waiting on God. Learning to pray. Seeking God in prayer. It's a little prayer, little power. Little prayer, little preservation. We just want to ask you today, have you really learned to pray? To really talk to God? Great privilege. Great privilege stepping into the presence of DFA and being able to talk to Him. We made a few trips to Russia. Before we ever went there was one place that we visited in Lancelot, and it was an older lady. We can't visit that home now because the older lady's in heaven. But we always went to that home and sat on a chair. And said, Aunt Suze, you know what you should do? Just pray with me before I go. A woman of prayer. Do you ever meet one? Did you ever meet a man of prayer? A man who knows what it is to pray, to lay hold upon God. And you know that your life has been touched when you come into His presence. And learning to pray. Learning to pray privately. Learning to pray publicly. Never pray publicly until you know what it is to pray privately. Learn to lay hold upon God. Speak to God. Wait upon God. We so often, we live in a world, and you know, I've learned a little bit in the traffic in Toronto, you know, that it moves fast. And if you just step of a line a little bit, you'll hear, boom, boom, bing, bing.
You know, they just can't have patience with you. You know, everything is in a hurry, isn't it? You go to the checkout and you hardly get time to wait. You go to the gas pump and you know, you just want to file in line and get it done as quick as you can and move. No waiting. And sometimes that's the way we do with God. We think God should press the button just a moment, and we hadn't learned to wait upon God. In the view of the Lord's coming, learn to wait upon God. And that chapter 1 is really no division in the heart. It's a heart work. You know, they were taken from idols to serve the living and true God, and their heart was to be given 100% to the Lord. Lord, have all your heart. Did the Lord have all your heart today? Is that what you really live for, just to wait upon God, and you have given your life, you've surrendered your life to Him, you've committed all your ways to Him, and He has all your heart? Heart work, isn't it? Because sometimes, you know, you think that the religious world, they operate in head work, and it's not heart work. But it can leak right into you as Christians, us as Christians, isn't it? We can just have somehow or another have our head work doing, and it never really touches the heart. It's nice to have the heart touched. It's nice to have the heart touched in view of His coming and to surrender our life. We can't serve two masters. We can't go, you know, both ways at the same time. Both directions. And it's nice to, when we think of it, the Lord's coming, waiting upon God, that a heart is dear. A heart is in it. Your heart in what you do? What you do, is your heart in it? Or, you know, I remember our mother asking us to do certain things when we were boys. And, you had your mind on doing something else. You ran home from school, skipped the book bag through the door and let it sling, and it landed in the corner. And you were ready to run. You had certain things on your mind. And you heard mother's voice and she wanted you to do something. And, you know, you was like the little dog, put his tail between his legs and just marched in with your head down and wonder what it was now. And she told you to do something. And you knew how to do it, because she told you. But you didn't do it heartily, did you? You had your mind on something else. Serving God, waiting upon God, and your mind on something else. Satan has his way of taking our focus, tearing our heart away, and where our heart is in the one thing and we're doing the other. Is that the way you serve God? Learn to wait upon God. Talk to God about the things that you need. Whether it's a partner in life, whether it's a profession that you need to do, whether it's where you even need to work, you know, whether you go to university, where you should go to university, all these things. Learn to wait upon God, and don't move until the cloud lifts. Don't move until the fire is dear and has given you direction. Wait upon God and allow your heart to be taken up with Him and waiting upon God. But then, you know, it's not just waiting upon God, it's walking with God, isn't it? Walking with God. You know what it is to walk with God? Oh, I know what it is. The first time I went for a walk with my wife. You went, you know, you asked this girl, your hands were shaking, and you was wondering what was going to happen and if she was going to say yes. And finally she said yes, and you went for that single walk with her. Isn't it? But did you know how to walk with God? Do you remember the first time you went for a walk with God? You were a little nervous. Well, yeah, sure. But then He began to make Himself known. That's what we've been hearing from our brother. Unsearchable knowledge, unsearchable riches, the unsearchable depths of Christ, and you begin to walk with Him, slowly walk with Him. You begin to know Him, and He wanted to know you too. And you were in fellowship with Him, and you walk with God. You know what it is? That's right, in view of the Lord's coming, how is your walk with God? You walk with God like it used to be? That's what we're going to look at in the Church of Ephesus, isn't it? Walking with God, are you walking as close with God today as you was even yesterday? You're walking as close with God today as the day that you first started to walk with Him and you stepped into that narrow pathway. Your eyes were open to understand what He has done for you up on the cross, and you knew your sins were forgiven, and you were near to Him. It's important. It's important. I stood in the 17th floor of the General Hospital in the city of Montreal a number of years ago. And as I stepped in behind the curtain, lying in the bed was my brother, 18 years of age and dying with leukemia. It was important to know God was there. Trembling hands, broken heart to think that my brother was dying without the Savior. It's nice to know that he was there. Times when he asked for a little drink of cold water, and when I gave him that water, he screamed until the nurses came running, and I stepped away and looked towards the out over the city and say, Lord, is this going to be my brother's cry forever in hell? He's going to be crying for a drink of cold water in hell. It's nice to know that the Lord is with you. That's what preserved Joseph, isn't it? In all the trials that Joseph had, as he began to go down, and God began to prove him, God was with Joseph. Important, young man. Young woman, it's important to know that God is with you every day. Before you go to university, just check and make sure that He's with you. And when you come back and before you crawl into bed and put that head up on the pillow and you're tired, just check and make sure that He's with you. With you in every circumstance. Because as life begins to go down the road, you'll find out that the storms will get heavier. You think this storm is bad. You're just in high school. And you know there's difficulty. You just can't answer all the questions that the people put before you and all the rest. And a child comes up in high school and you think that storm is... There's worse storms. And you're going to have to know that He is with you in the ship. He's there. He's there with you. As you think about the Lord's coming now, you think about the Lord coming from heaven, the Lord walking with God, learning to walk with God. You know what He expects? He expects you to be obedient. Obey His Word, not just to know His Word. It's not just to memorize His Word in Sunday school. It's not just to listen to good sermons and listen to the preachers and listen to the brethren and listen to your dad and mom and know this technically. No, it's in your heart, isn't it? Truth in the heart. Obeying God's Word. Are you obeying God's Word? Anybody here that is saved today and you haven't obeyed in baptism? Not baptized yet? Somehow or another you just can't get the courage to do that step? Obedience. God is looking not for sacrifice. You're sacrificing your life to Him. He's looking to you to obey His Word. You know, sometimes you're asked, how do you learn your Bible? How do you study your Bible? Well, Mr. Crawford gave it the answer this morning. Just read it. I've learned the best way to learn my Bible is, first of all, read it. You'll never study it, you'll never know it until you read it. Read it over and over and over. Sit down and read the epistles. Take one and read it over and over and over. And you can't read it too many times. Reading the Word of God is like the little boy going, I'm sure you heard the story, a little boy going to the river with a basket, and he's carrying the water in the basket, trying to get water whole. And he does that all day, going to the river, he fills up the basket, and walks home when he gets home, it's empty. And he goes to the river, fills up the basket, and he gets home, it's empty. It's all drained out. But you know what he got at the end of the day? He mightn't have any water brought home. Might be too many drops that he got brought home, but his basket is clean. God is not looking for clever heads. Lots of them. We have a few left in Newfoundland too. God is not looking for clever heads. He's looking for clean hearts. Hearts that are clean. And how do you keep your heart clean? One way. Word of God. Reading the Word of God. And we are living in a generation in which we oftentimes become too busy just to simply read the Bible. Read it to the family. Family altar. Read it publicly. Read it. Read the Word of God. Simply reading the Word of God. Very important. As you walk with God, He wants you to be obedient. That's right. There's things a lady should learn from the Word of God. There's things that a young man should learn from the Word of God and obey it. Young men should have short hair. The ladies, this is very evident from the Scriptures. They'll have long hair. When you come together, the covering. There's things that you learn to learn just simply to live it. Live the Word of God. How do you really learn it? Obey it. One of the best ways after reading the Word of God to learn it is simply obey it. Just do what the Word tells you and you get practice. That's practicing. You know, you practice, you read something when we were going to school in vocational school, learning electricity. They wanted you not just to see the light turned on, they wanted you to hook it up and see it do yourself. Do the wiring, do the hookups, and turn the switch, and there it is. And that's just simply with the Word of God is the same thing. Walking with God. How close are you walking with God today? But then, it's not just waiting upon God and walking as you think about the Lord's coming, but it's standing for the Word of God. What kind of stand do you take for the Word of God? Where you work? Your neighbors? Your home? You know, when I got saved as a boy, I got saved 16. I was the only one saved, a family of 10. My father and mother wasn't saved, nobody else in the village. Standing for God. Oh, I want to tell you. I remember going in my first time after I landed back home and everybody began to learn that this boy has professed to be saved and he's gone a little bit up here. Something has happened to his head. And I remember going to my first neighbor. Oh, it was an experience. Went into that neighbor's home and sat down like I normally do. And she came over. She was a big lady. I mean a big lady. She came over and just looked right down at me and I could feel almost feel her breath going down my neck. And she just gave me a lecture. Man, did she ever give me a lecture. But you know what? I lived for a number of years in that village. And one day, my father is going away. And he's bringing home one of my brothers. They're drunk and bringing home the brother. And, bringing him home. And I was sitting in the same home. And she knew what was happening. She says, it might be nice for your brother to be a little bit like you. You know what? I was in the hospital ward the day before that woman died. And she raised the family. They were teachers. They were doctors. And I walked into that hospital ward, and you talk about a nervous people. I never thought that doctors and nurses and teachers could get so nervous. I walked in there, my wife and I, and everybody was just didn't know what to do. Didn't have a clue what to do. And my wife went over and talked to the lady and quieted her down. And I would have liked to be able to pray with them. But I knew I wouldn't dare ask. But I just remembered the day that lady spoke to me so irreverently. Standing for God. Very important. What's your stand for God? Do the people know your stand for God in the university, in the schools, in the home where you live? This boy went away. He got saved and he went away to the lumber woods in Newfoundland. And he spent all winter in the lumber woods. When he came back, the brethren was asking, well, how do you do? How do you do in the lumber woods? How do you do, there? How do you manage? He said, nobody suspected a thing. Is that it? Nobody suspects that you're a Christian. Nobody suspects a thing that you're different. It's nice to take a stand for God. Just stand directly with Him. You know what it is? I remember going to a funeral and went to a funeral with Mr. Joyce. And, just a short little fellow, Mr. Joyce, big man. And you could hear him whispering about Mr. Joyce. Never said a word about me. But you know what? I was so happy that I could just walk with Mr. Joyce. Just be with him. So, just to be there. Nice to be with God. It's nice to know that God is there. In the complications of life. In the difficulty, in decisions that you make in obeying the Word of God, seeking power to obey God's Word, just getting courage, having the courage to speak to your neighbor, put your stand in the truth, having the courage to speak to there was a young man who came from Germany, brought over to Sydney Mines in Nova Scotia. He came to study as an engineer. And you know what? He sat in the first class, in the university the first morning, and he began to talk to this young man on his right side, and the young man looked at him and realized he was from Germany, and they began to have good friends. He was a Christian, very important, isn't it? And the young man gradually began to talk to him and began to witness to him a little bit. Didn't have much interest, The young man goes away to Prince Edward Island, finds a German Bible in an old library over there, and buys the German Bible and brings it back to him, and witnessing a little bit at a time, and finally the young man came to a gospel meeting. And you know what? The young man only came to 3 gospel meetings and was reached and saved. How important it was for the young Christian just to take a stand for the things of God. Stand alone with God. One person and God, always a majority. You always like to be on the majority side, do you? Nothing worse than turning up and, you know, you're on the minority side. You know, you're playing a ball game or you're playing something and you're on the losing side. But listen, with God and you, always a majority. You're never in the minority when you have God on your side. Standing with God. But then, you know, it's not just the standing, it's now the working. God wants you to work. Get out there and put it down, you know, where Mr. Foyt used to say, let the rubber hit the road and working for the Lord. Working, just doing something for Him. It's very important if you're going to work for God. First of all, you must wait upon God. You must know what it is to walk with God. You must know what it is to stand for God. And then you're able to go out and work for Him. But if you don't, having an understanding, trying to hook up this wire here and go back to the switch box, and you've never done it before, and you never witnessed it before, and you never did it before, it's going to be a little difficult if you don't have some little practice experience behind you. It's going to be difficult. And it's the same thing trying to work with no, there's got to be a lead up. There's got to be a build up. There's got to be an education before you're able to put it actually into practice, isn't it? And that's why it's important to listen to older men, to listen to older women, to take counsel in a multitude of counselors to your safety, learning and observing, watching. I watched my dad as he fished. I watched him. And, you know, I wanted to do it the very same way he did it. Why? Because I realized that he got fished the way he did it. And if I was going to get fished, I wanted to do it the same way. So I watched him and I did it. And it's the same thing. Young man, watch. Just look. You know, sometimes we wonder what we can do. Just do what is put into your hands to do. And if you want something to do, anybody who wants something to do will never be able to have something to do. But if you don't want to do nothing, then, you know, it's hard to get somebody to do something who don't want to do anything. That's right. Understand that? It's hard to get any person to do something when they don't want to do anything. But listen, if you've been waiting upon God and proving Him, and you've been walking with God and observing Him, and you've been standing for God in this truth, then you will want to work for Him. You will want to see Him work. That's right. You will want to see it work. That's when I work with electricity, and I did a job, I wanted to see it work. I learned it from the book. I did it the way that the men showed me, and I wanted to see it work. That's right. You hooked up something, you wanted to turn that switch, and you wanted to know that it's going to work. Well, listen, that's how you prove God. Get out when you learned it. Get out there and observe and allow God to work. Nice to just witness and use the Word of God and to see the Word of God do its work in the soul. And another person becomes... You ever win a soul for Christ? You ever witness to somebody and work at them and get them to come to meetings and see them reach and save? You go right down to... That's what we want. That's what we're missing. Oftentimes you turn up to the gospel hall and nobody knows you. You've driven for, 20 minutes. Everybody drives for 20 minutes, drives to a gospel hall. Nobody around the hall knows anybody. There's secret police coming to this place. No, you only get the people in. The people who come to listen to the gospel are those that we work with. We work at. We told them the Word of God, and they saw it in us. No good to tell them one thing, and when they turn up to the university, they watch you live, and, he's telling us one thing and doing something else. No. You live it out, and then you see it work. And that's what we want. We want men and women who will work with God. Work with God and God, see God work. Work before God. But then, are you watching for the Master to come? I remember his boys, you know, there were 10 in the family, so there's lots of movement in our home. No shortage of movement. I was the oldest, and my mother used to go away sometimes, and she would say, "Now take care of the house, and I'll just be gone a little while, and I'll be back." And you know what it is, as soon as mother's out the door, you get this mischievous things thinking in your mind, and the way you go at it, you knew she was gone for so long, and all of a sudden somebody looks at the window, she is coming. The Lord is coming. And as you understand the Lord is coming, what is He seeing you doing? What's He watching you doing? Obeying the Word of God? Or you're away from Him. Your heart has been tugged away, drawn away, and you're not in love with Him like you used to be. And you're not watching for Him. But He's not going to give us any warning. You know, as boys, we always had somebody watching. You know, that was the watchdog. Always somebody at the window watching. But you know, He's not going to give us any warning and say, you know, you got 20 minutes now. And to get things in order. No. He's going to come back very, very soon. And with a warning, instantaneously. Are you watching for Him? Are you watching for Him? If you're watching for Him, you will wait upon Him. You will work for Him. Oh, it's a total different, isn't it? When you know He's coming. When do we expect Him? We get away from that truth, do we? We just don't expect Him today. And that's why we can relax. And, you know, we can do things that we know is disobedient to the Word of God. The truth of God, love it and live it. Listen to it, love it, learn it, but listen. Whatever you do, live it while you're waiting for the Master to come. And He's soon coming. Soon going to hear His footfall. And won't it be the moment when we will see Him? And He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful as a young person. You've been faithful as an older person. You've been faithful as a father. You've been faithful as a mother. You've been faithful as an overseer. Been faithful to God as we wait for the Master